We're all looking for ways to save, especially on medical bills. But where do you start? Unless you're a medical bill expert, finding savings can seem impossible. Well, HealthLock can help. HealthLock is a healthcare technology company that securely connects with your insurance and flags errors like overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. So start saving with knowing where to look. Visit HealthLock.com today before you see another healthcare provider. That's HealthLock.com.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bold, reverent, and occasionally random, the Sunday Hang with Clay and Buck podcast starts now.
I didn't see the Oscars. I was out running around with my family down here. But I did this weekend, Buck, watch the, I want to give people a movie recommendation. And you had already seen this. I had not. I watched the movie Dune, which is based on the book, and it came out a couple of years ago. I had not seen it. My 16-year-old said, Dad, you're really going to like this. I think it's you're really going to enjoy it. Dune 2 is out now in theaters. And Greg on our team said he's already seen it. Buck, as soon as we finish this show, I'm taking my 16-year-old. We're going to watch Dune 2 at the IMAX. The reviews have been incredible. Dune 1, which again, I'm a couple of years behind on watching this. I somehow missed it during all the chaos of 2021. Dune 1, fabulous movie. And you had seen it. You told me you really liked it too. Word is this new movie that is out. By the way, no woke angles on it. No, like, hidden, that I can see, hidden awful messages. Just what Hollywood did in the 80s and the 90s. A really good movie that if your kids are 13 or older, you can take them to go watch it and enjoy it, which is what I think should be the goal of every movie, right? Just about. And it, so I'm excited. I can't wait. I don't remember the last time I was this excited to go see a movie. As soon as we finish the show, I'm headed to the theater.
I remember reading the original Dune novel years ago. It's by many, I think, considered the greatest sci-fi novel ever written, or certainly in the top 10. You know, people would probably think there's some H.G. Wells stuff and other things they would throw in there. But Dune is an incredibly fun read, and it holds up really well. And then there's like Children of Dune, and there's some of the follow-ups. The original movie, I remember watching it and thinking to myself, you know, they could do this. Like, they could just make movies again that are supposed to be well-executed and entertain. But Hollywood has become so deluded with its narcissism and its DEI seminars and its belief that it needs to be political along with every, like, deeply political, not just political, partisan, along with everything else in our society, I think is the big problem. So I actually may go, Carrie's not into sci-fi stuff. It's okay. Not everyone likes the sci-fi. I'll probably go see Dune 2 on my own at some point. I actually think going to a movie by yourself on an off day at a random time is great because you really just get
underrated
the movie. Underrated. Eating alone at the bar at a restaurant, underrated. Going to a movie alone when you really want to see the movie and you've got a couple of hours and, you know, you just, unlike eating an ice cream cone alone as a guy, apparently, which Clay still is not okay with. But I would say it's funny to me because last night I was for the Oscars. I mean, most of those movies I haven't even seen. Oppenheimer completely dominated the night. Oppenheimer is, I'll put aside my historical political objections to it, which are substantial. It's just boring. It's just boring. Like, there's all this stuff about his private life and am I really a communist or what is I, you know, that's boring. The Robert Downey Jr. stuff is boring. There's like a middle portion of that movie. It's a 3-hour long movie. I don't want 3-hour long movies anymore. I haven't in a long time. It's really hard with attention spans getting so used to on demand to have someone sit for three and a half hours for anything, I think, in one sitting. you know, that's why like the Lord of the Rings was great. But when you went to see the Hobbit movies, you're like, this is the first movie. It's like 4 hours long. What's going on here? I know there's two more coming. That wasn't even the director's cut. Anyway, Oppenheimer, the middle section where they're testing the bomb and they're getting ready to do that. That's well done and interesting. But I don't know. I actually think after last night, I'm just going to say it. I think Christopher Nolan might have taken who's the guy who did Pulp Fiction? Who's the director?
Tarantino.
I think that Christopher Nolan may have taken the crown from Tarantino as the most overrated director of all time. That's how I feel after
wow.
last night. Yeah. Yeah. I'm just coming out swinging today. Yeah. That's what, because Oppenheimer's just not a good watch. It's just not fun to watch. And everyone's like, oh, I really liked it. No, you've been told to like it. It's not very good.
I didn't see any of the movies that were nominated for Best Picture this year.
Isn't the Killer Flowers of the Summer Moon, isn't it like 8 hours long? It's crazy. It's really long.
I didn't see that either. Once I had kids, I see a lot of kids' movies. So if you want me to know, give a review on kids' movies. I got a funny story for you, Buck, on the Solo movie. When I was going out all the time to Fox Sports, you know, I would stay. For those of you who know L.A., there was a hotel that looks over the Fox lot right at the intersection of Pico and Motor. And it's the Intercontinental Hotel. You could walk back and forth. There's also the Westfield Mall there. And they have a great movie theater. So every now and then, I would have time off in between television shows or whatever else, and I would walk and go see a movie. I went to go see, do you remember Gone Girl? I went to go see Gone Girl by myself. They changed our filming time. I had my phone off. They couldn't get in touch with me for a Fox Sports television show. Coach Dave Wannstedt, many of you will remember, awesome guy, was there ready to tape. They couldn't figure out where I was. And when they finally got me on, they were like, you're going to have to tell Coach where you were. He's really fired up about this. And I was like, well, you're going to have to tell him that I went to see Gone Girl by myself at the Westfield Mall, and that's why he was late. And there was a pause, and they were like, I think you got to come up with a better story than that. You can't have gone to see Gone Girl.
At least you weren't in line alone at the Dairy Queen, Clay.
That's true.
Sunday Hang with Clay and Buck.
I've been getting a bit of heat because of my stance on the movie Oppenheimer, which even some of our esteemed Patriot scholar listeners, some of them seem to disagree with me on. A lot of them, a lot of you agree with me that Oppenheimer was long and boring and kind of a whitewash of the threat of communism. The idea that, oh, well, we have nukes, so now the Soviets should have nukes too, because that will be parody, because, you know, everyone's the same. That's insane. It was a horrible, insane idea, and people betrayed their country, including some people who had been given refuge in this country from other places, in order to give that parody. But anyway, put that aside. The most important thing is that it was just boring, and the middle part of it was okay, but the first hour and the third hour were really bad. And people can disagree with me on that, but that just means they're wrong. Now, Clay, you saw Dune 2, and you were a big fan, A+, fantastic,
yes.
Everyone should see it.
Yes, I went with my 16-year-old yesterday, who has read the Dune books. I have not. He read the Dune books. We watched this weekend. I think I told you guys, I somehow missed it in 2021 with the kids and everything else. I used to see every movie that came out. I haven't seen Oppenheimer. I haven't seen Barbie. I haven't seen any of these things that everybody's watching. I barely can keep up with the sports now. So I had not seen it. This weekend, he said, Dad, I think you'll like it. We watched Dune 1. Dune 2 is fabulous. And I didn't even realize, it feels as I watch it, like George Lucas for Star Wars used a ton of the Dune story as part of the inspiration. Even Tatooine, compared to the desert planet that starts with Luke Skywalker on it. It's amazing how much he borrowed. And again, that's how culture works. You see something, you build something new. But it's amazing how much he borrowed from the books Dune to create Star Wars. And the way it's being watched now, a lot of people are saying, oh, Dune looks like Star Wars. No. Dune was the beginning, part of the inspiration, I think, for Star Wars, but chronologically, because the Star Wars movies were made before these Dune movies, it feels like that Dune is borrowing from Star Wars instead of vice versa.
I'm glad we get to talk about this, because occasionally, especially for people who have listened to me for a very long time now, going on 13 years, I'm accused of being grumpy about movies and saying that all movies suck. That is not true. Dune 1 is a very good movie. You and I
you
both
liked
thought,
it too. I had not seen it.
Fantastic. Dune 1 is a fantastic movie for what it is. I'm sure I haven't seen it yet because Kara doesn't like sci-fi. You know, nobody's perfect. But I'm sure I'm going to like Dune 2. You and I both like Top Gun Maverick. I thought All Quiet on the Western Front, which was released on Netflix, was a phenomenal World War I movie. Like I call him like I see him. Just I know that it got 7 Oscars. Oppenheimer is a trash movie. And it's way too favorable to commies, in my opinion, because that was actually a big problem for me.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
The number one fantasy sports app in America is PrizePicks. It's the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. 5 million members already active on PrizePicks. If you've not yet downloaded PrizePicks, do it today. Unlike other apps, on PrizePicks, it's just you against the number. It's about the players and not the teams. You look for the sports you know best and that you follow the most. Then you make a single decision on each player projection, more or less, every time you play. You pick 2 to 6 players and make that one decision. You can win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 picks. More player action on Prize Picks now than ever, and it's the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states now. Prize Picks also gives you injury insurance so your picks stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. Download the free Prize Picks app and open your account. Use my name, Clay, for a first deposit match up to $100. Download the PrizePicks app. Use promo code Clay, that's C-L-A-Y, to get set up and get a deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough. That we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sundays with Clay and Buck.
Laura Travis, AKA my wife, was listening to my discussion of her driving ability yesterday in the car. And she wanted it to be said that she is twice as good of a driver as I am. And that she wanted to throw down the gauntlet and call me out for what she termed, and I thought it was an aggressive take, fake news about her driving ability. Now, she did acknowledge that her mom was a really bad driver. She did not offer any defense of her own mother. But she said, I'm quoting her, a twice as good of a driver as you are. I think she said 100% better. And she cited my aggressive driving as frequently making her think that she is going to die. So, I would submit that if you ever drive with someone in the car next to you who reacts aggressively to everything that happens, even when there is no true peril, it's not going to surprise probably a lot of you that I am not very often afraid while driving myself. But if you have someone who sits next to you and inhales breath or reacts uproariously every time that there is a car in close proximity, I would submit, again, humbly, that is my wife sitting next to me when I am saving her life on a regular basis by not allowing her to drive and kill us both.
Does Laura then do the thing that maybe my own wife Carrie does, where you have like 200 yards before the car ahead of you stops, but as you're slowing down, there's the like that thing, or some other like the chance that this was going to result in a bad ending is maybe one in a billion, but you still have to hear about it as though you just, you know, missed a stroller with three babies in it going 90 miles an hour in a 20 mile an hour zone. Like, is that where you are too?
Yes. She said, like, I drove us back from the beach this weekend, and she said, I was going to take a nap, but I was afraid we were going to die. And I was like, is that why you spent the whole time, you know, like, on your phone checking Instagram and not, for the most part, paying attention to what was going on? But I want it disclosed.
Wait, what's the fastest you've ever been caught speeding? How much over have you gone?
Well, I'm trying to think. Probably 30 miles over the speed limit.
Wow.
Not close. I was only like 11 miles over. I haven't gotten a ticket, although I have not gotten a ticket in a couple of years now. And so things are going well there. Inevitably, I'm going to now get pulled over, but I haven't had any major issues.
He denies this, but all of my siblings and I remember this because I was with him. I was young, but I was with him. He got two speeding tickets in one day. I've never heard of another human being doing that. I've never heard of that happening.
That is awesome. I have gotten a speeding ticket before and thought to myself, well, clearly now I'm not at risk of getting a speeding ticket. One of the funny things is one of the times that I got pulled over was with my 16-year-old who I'm teaching to drive right now. I rode back from school with him yesterday, which is a totally different level of danger. For anybody out there who's taught a 15 or 16-year-old how to drive a car, you know what I'm talking about. But when he was still in his car seat, we were driving to the beach. And I've said this before on the show, I think. I have built some elementary schools in southern Alabama. There are tons of communities down there that exist. Basically, their entire budget, I'm convinced, is just to pull people over who are driving to go to the beach. For instance, I don't even know if we're on in this community. Georgiana. In Georgiana, Alabama, they should put a statue of me up in the town square because I swear that I built a substantial portion of their elementary schools. Georgiana, Alabama, one of the all-time number one traffic stop just gauntlets of all the country. I've been pulled over there a ton. And one of the times I got pulled over there, I got pulled over and he was like three at the time. My son had been told, hey, we're going to the beach. And when we got pulled over, he just popped up. He had been watching, you know, a movie or something in the back of the car. And he said, are we at the beach yet? And mom said, no, do you see those flashing lights? Dad's going to get arrested. And I think he was traumatized at the age of three over that. But again, I'm happy. If you are right now listening to us in Georgiana, Alabama, the reason why your kids are well-educated is because by speeding through your community, I have funded the entire educational system of that community in South Alabama.
So Clay may be risking lives on the sidewalk, but he is helping people with their ABCs. So that is very nice.
That's right. I'm a giver.
I would say when you look at the numbers, I don't have them handy. You look at the amount of revenue that comes in some communities from speeding tickets / speed cameras now,
yes,
which is another
speed
thing.
Traps.
But I mean the it's not a person.
They
pulling
just take
you
a
over.
Photo. They don't That's even right. bother pulling you down, pulling That's you right. over now.
Yeah, you look at the amount of money from that, and you will have to read it a few times because it will blow your mind how much money. I mean, even smaller communities. Millions and millions of dollars from this.
Yes.
It becomes a major source of revenue, to your point about what's going on in this one part of South Alabama you mentioned. I wish I could know off the top of my head. Team, if you can find this for me, let me know. I remember a guy I knew in the NYPD. He was senior up enough that he was involved with the finance and logistics side of things. And he told me what the city of New York makes in parking tickets every day, in parking fines across the city of New York. It is mind-blowing.
Yeah.
It's effectively an additional tax on the city and the people in it, but no one talks about it. But it's massive sums of money.
And when I talk about a traffic, speed trap, what I'm talking about is not like, hey, the speed limit's 55 and they pull you over because you're going 70. I'm talking about you're driving on a road and there's no difference at all. And the speed limit goes from 55 to 35 to 25 back to 30. Like, there is no way that a normal person driving can maintain the correct speed without being basically a scientist of the road. And on Waze, which I download and use all the time now, they actually will mark these communities now where they have these speed traps set up and these cameras that you're talking about. 25 miles an hour on a road where people have, you know, are going 65 or 55 on the opposite side a mile away. It's crazy.
Allie may have to back me up on this one, but there is that experience when you're in the Clay Travis mobile in his SUV and he's driving where you are like, you start to feel like almost in a roller coaster where your back sort of is being pushed against the seat by the centrifugal force. And you also find yourself just like in a roller coaster checking to make sure that your seatbelt is buckled. I'm just saying that's a real thing when Clay is driving the car. All of a sudden your stomach is kind of hitting your spine and you're like, I hope the seatbelt's working this thing. It's just a thing.
That's what Allie says is an accurate description. I wanted to share Laura Travis's insults at my driving. By the way, 4 million parking tickets issued, $260 million in revenue in New York City from parking tickets. That is insane.
Over what period?
From October 2020 to September 2021, according to our crew.
$260 million in parking tickets.
Sunday Drop with Clay and Buck.
I can't tell you how much better I feel today than I did yesterday. And I bet there are other people out there who have experienced this. I had 3 kidney stones suddenly hit me. I have never felt pain like from these kidney stones. I think I have passed them, knock on wood. I feel very good now. Yesterday, I thought that I might have another one of those like spasms and attacks. I've heard that women who have had babies and had kidney stones say that kidney stones are more painful than labor. I'm not a Democrat, so I'll never claim that I know what it's like to have a baby or breastfeed. But I got to tell you, if that is what pregnancy feels like, I have even more respect for women than I did before, because I was ready. I thought I was dying from the, and you said your dad, because I told you about it. I didn't sleep. I might tap out, because if I get hit, like, I'm basically unable to do my job. That didn't happen yesterday. I think I passed them. This is the worst malady that I've ever experienced.
How would you describe this?
I would describe it as pain that was so intense and so rapid that I felt like I was going to throw up for about 45 minutes straight. The only thing I could think as it was hitting was like, this must have been what it was like to get an arm chopped off in a Civil War battle back in the day.
Wow.
When they would just give you whiskey and tell you to bite on a bar or whatever. Like, I can't even tell you, the pain was unlike anything I've ever experienced. And I wouldn't even wish it on my worst enemy out there, is how bad it was. And if you told me, hey, Clay, here's a good way to sum it up. If you told me, hey, your kidney stones were caused by X or Y, like alcohol, things that I like, coffee, I would give it up for the rest of my life to avoid having to experience this again, even though I like both those things.
Well, I'm glad you're doing better, man. I know that's very, very painful situation. Yes, let's end on a hopeful note. I'm telling you right now, first of all, that your kidney stone has passed, so that's good. But it's amazing, as we're talking about the fitness thing, Now everyone is blowing up my ex timeline. All the people that know everything about how to be in perfect shape and are telling me that both Travis and Taylor Swift are out of shape. And I'm sitting here and I'm like, I just don't know what it's going to take for people to live in reality. But that's
I can't speak about Taylor Swift because I don't know what her true physical condition is. Sometimes people look great in bikinis and they could never, you know, actually. Travis Kelce sprints in a 60-minute football game that lasts for 3 hours the whole game and people hit him. He is in 0.1% male physical shape for 35-year-old.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from this idea of is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sunday Sizzle with Clay and Buck.
You know, Clay, people who know me know that there are some issues on which you may reasonably describe me as a zealot, perhaps even a fanatic. One of them is manners in public places. I start to lose my mind. Another is the assault on the eardrums that comes from excessive decibels. Too much noise in general. I do not like too much noise. I'm told this is actually a medical condition, so maybe I need to investigate this. But excessive, unnecessary loud noise drives me insane. But also, stretching back, I don't even know. I want to say for 20 years, I have been an anti-recycling zealot. I think we've talked about this before. I've just said this makes no sense. All they're going to do is harass you into this compliance regime, and this stuff is not going to help the environment. It's actually going to somehow, I promise you, make things worse. The New Republic, which is basically a communist website, I mean, or rather, scratch that, it's a communist website. They put out a story recently. I just want to read this to you. Recycling doesn't work, and the plastics industry knew it. The plastics industry knew decades ago that recycling was never viable in the long term, and now we're all being poisoned by its products. 90%, Clay, between 1990 and 2015, so basically like, you know, our entire adolescent through adult lives, more or less, 90% of recycled plastics ended up in landfills or the oceans, or burned, which some would argue is even worse than all of those things. The whole thing is a scam. Recycling plastics, which is the annoying kind, but recycling newspapers, I don't really care. That's easy. Recycling plastics, you got to wash them out. They separate them into these other bins. It's all a scam. And I knew it all along. Where is my apology? Where do I go to get my apologies, Clay?
Can we send this clip to Laura Travis so I cannot be criticized for not caring enough about putting the right stuff in the recyclable bin versus the regular trash can? Because this has been an ongoing battle in our marriage for coming up on 20 years now. I've been arguing that recycling is a waste of time and everything should just be thrown in the normal garbage bins.
Yes.
And she's been arguing that we have to separate, you know, papers, plastics, all these other different things. It's totally worthless.
Even the left is admitting now it's worthless. And there's all this concern. What ends up happening a lot of time with especially plastics recycling, let me tell you also, the move from I'm here in Florida, the free state of. We get plastic bags at the grocery stores. You know, in New York, they won't even give you plastic bags anymore. This has been the case for a few years now. And even paper bags you have to pay for. You know that paper bags are worse for the environment than plastic bags are?
They don't mention they break.
Yes. They're trash and they're trash, meaning they end up in the trash, but also they don't work in the function in which they are supposed to. Clay, environmental policy from the left for the last 70 years is one disaster after another. It not only fails to work as advertised, it always makes things worse than what they advertised as the result of this stuff.
I spend no time on climate change with my kids. I'm building a beach house, as we've talked about before. The thing here that we should all be concerned about that almost no one is talking about, everybody should be having more kids because the population's going to collapse and we're all going to have been concerned about global warming. And in 100 years, we're going to have half the population that we do now, and it's going to be deteriorating even quicker.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.